The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
I have a very important question for the players to start off episode 6.
Flats.
Yeah, flats.
No, I'm you got to listen person. To a different podcast to talk
both
about that question.
Wings and shoes, flats.
oh, briefs.
So we almost started discussing this off mic, and I was like, "No, I'm going to save that till recording."
Hmm.
Alex didn't think everybody was going to make it to Altdorf. Which you haven't made it there yet. You see it. You're not there yet, but he didn't think everybody was going to make it there alive. So I want everybody to place their bet of who do you think is going to die first?
Ooh.
I mean, I didn't think I was going to make it to the first coaching in. So.
Lucky does seem like the character that is the most reckless.
Mm. Rude.
although Mina has already taken on some corruption.
True.
So is Lucky.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think it's a big deal for Lucky to take on corruption, though, I think.
If nothing else, it just happens. If I didn't get these new dice, and these new dice weren't working out so well for me, and hopefully I don't jinx that, if I was still working with the old dice, I would have easily said me.
Yeah, did anybody steal those dice while JB took a break for a second?
Well, he took them with him. He put them in his really? Pocket.
Yeah, I put them in my cheek like a squirrel.
Well, you don't trust anybody, huh?
No.
Why would he?
That's fair. I just think it's funnier when JB fails all the time.
You said in not so many words that you want us to steal his dice.
Dang it,
so.
It's too obvious.
Yeah, you're not sneaky. Yeah, initially with JB's dice in early episodes, I definitely thought Bruno. And I feel like Mina... Like, she just doesn't care. Like, she cares, but she's just kind of, like, hot-headed in a way. Like, with the mutants, instead of, like, trying to, like, walk over and approach them, she was just like, yes, I kill
I jump off the
man.
Coach and stab this guy.
Like, you know, so she just kind of, like, runs headlong into danger sometimes, so.
So we...
Lucky just wants to talk to people. That's right? All.
Seems which like might it. Be a downfall.
Yeah, it will probably be his end.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lucky as well.
I would probably go Lucky.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a couple votes for Lucky, a couple votes for Mina. Sounds like. Well, we'll see. It'll probably be Carl just because nobody voted for him.
No.
I was hoping it'd be Philippe, but.
He managed to. He almost died. Did I tell you he went down to 2 wounds from that hit?
No.
Like, it was brutal.
I mean, he got axed in the shoulder.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm not surprised.
You know, he shouldn't have because I forgot initiative and he should have shot first, but, you know.
So should have Greedo.
Nobody would have known if I hadn't said it just now.
True.
All right, so you see the white walls of Altdorf. Real big. You know, these are siege stopping walls. Huge, and they're painted white as to show of power in the area. You know, it's surrounded by marshlands. As you near the walls, the last bit here, you're kind of coming down a gentle slope towards the city, and it is just massive. I don't think anybody's been to Altdorf before, right?
No.
Yeah.
Like, Carl's from Altdorf.
As is Bruno. Right.
All right, so this is just, you know, you've seen this before. For Lucky and Mina, though, like, this makes C-Stat look tiny. Wherever Lucky's from would fit in a small portion.
Oh, yeah.
Corner of this city would engulf it, would engulf whatever town you're from. This place is huge, right? There are hundreds of thousands of people within the walls of Altdorf. And we got a lot of people here. As you approach, you can smell the city a bit. You can see there are 2 different rivers that flow through Altdorf. The Reich itself and one of its tributaries. And it's just teeming with people. As you approach, you hear that you are coming towards what's called the Wolf Gate. You're coming to from the north part of the city, heading down in. And it's just, you're here, it's kind of end of the day. The sun is kind of starting to set, it's dusk. So the city guard are kind of hurrying things along to get people in the city that are trying to come in. So your coach gets through relatively quickly. And you probably wait in line for half an hour at least. Different coaches and different thing people coming in with like other different styles of coaches full of goods and things, not necessarily people every time. Lucky.
Yeah.
Other characters don't know this, of course, but as you draw near the city, you feel like your connection to the Winds of Magic is slightly strengthened.
Oh.
You do know they're the Colleges of Magic here.
Mm-hmm.
So as a practitioner of the arcane, you might have an inkling that there could be like a source of arcane power here. While you're within the city, you gain +1 success level to any language magic or channeling tests.
Oh, wow.
Just so you are aware.
All right.
If either of the die comes up with a 9, like a 90-something or like something 19, nine?
Yeah.
You got to tell me.
Okay.
Because something might happen.
All right.
All right. So you feel kind of infused with the Winds of Magic here. It's kind of like, oh, maybe this is nice. Maybe you don't like it. I'm not sure how Lucky feels about that.
Lucky's certainly pretty intimidated by the size of this place and the number of people and a lot of that. But feeling the Winds of Magic certainly fills him with a little bit of determination.
Nice. So maybe he feels a little more confident from that. As you approach the city, you can see a few gigantic buildings beyond. As you're coming down a slope, so you can kind of see the city, sort of from above, you know, like you can see some absolutely huge buildings. The biggest ones are across the Reich, the river that flows, the bigger river that flows through Altdorf. You can see one building that's very obviously the Temple of Sigmar. There's a huge golden twin-tailed comet as like a cap of a dome. And then next to that is the building that dwarfs even that. Everybody can make a lore Reichland test, but make it easy, +40.
Going to be a failure on my part. What do we got, 95 over +40?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, yeah. Yeah, 95 over 71.
I pass with 7 degrees of success.
Oh, wow. Carl?
Carl's got 2 degrees of success.
All right, and Mina had quite a few as well. Those of you that pass know that that huge structure next to the Temple of Sigmar is the Palace of the Emperor.
Oh!
So probably the most important building in the entire empire.
That's probably right where my daddy works, then.
Somewhere near it. Bruno?
Yeah?
You just... I don't know. You're more focused on the road and the gate than
right,
the big buildings that you've seen before.
Got to get us through here without running anybody over.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of
damn people four seasons.
Oh, man.
So you get through the Wolf Gate, mm-hmm. No problem. They kind of wave you on. They look over the coach just a little bit, and they see they ask you what your business is and whatnot. I assume you just tell them that you're transporting people that have paid their way.
Yeah, we're... normal coaching in or coaching establishment, just heading or taking travelers to Altdorf.
All right, I'm sure Ratchet Lines will be happy to have another coach back. Stay safe. They kind of wave you on. Move along.
Ah, very good. Thanks, Sarah. Thank you.
All right, so JB, you're from here. You've been here.
Yes.
In your training, you know the first place you need to head to is called the Königsplatz.
Okay.
The King's Square.
Okay.
Essentially what it is. It's the biggest market square in the city.
Yeah.
And it's where, you know, a lot of business in the city takes place. This is the place where people want to be dropped off because they can head off in all kinds of directions. Give me another lore Reichland test. Again, easy, +40.
Him or everybody?
Just Bruno.
Just Bruno.
Oh, fantastic. That'd be a 94 over 71.
One better than 71. Last time.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
2 degrees of failure.
Never mind. Carl, why don't you give me an easy Lore Reichland test?
Carl will succeed on that with 3 degrees of success.
You know, off the Königsplatz is a very famous street called the Street of 100 Taverns. pretty obvious what it's famous for. And a lot of times, it's not just taverns. There are tons of inns and places along this road as well. And it leads down to the docks of the Reich, where the road ends. And it literally, it's down a slight incline towards the docks, which is why you know it so well. You probably spent a lot of time here.
100 taverns. That sounds like a place where my Uncle Chet would die and go to heaven.
Yes, let's go down the road, but not too far. We can stay near the top of the hill.
Do I need to make any sort of check or roll to maneuver this cart through the crowd or to get to where we need to be going?
No, at this point, the horses are really used to this kind of thing.
Okay.
They just kind of, they know they've been trained to go at a pretty slow pace through the city. And they're not just going to run people over. People stay out of the way. They're kind of coaching lanes that are not as packed full of people.
Okay.
And it's getting to be later in the day, so it's just not as busy as it would be at like 10 in the morning, you know?
Oh, good.
So you get to the Königsplatz. Are you going to stop and let people out, or are you just going to continue on like you did at the coaching inn?
No. I mean, if this is... are we in front of the Ratchet Lines office?
Not here, no.
Okay, fantastic. All right, good, yeah. I'll let folks out if they needed. Yep.
Okay.
Who do we have? We have Ernst.
That's it. Besides you guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll let them out.
All right, Ernst gets out and...
I hold out my hand for a tip. You're like, hey, got you here safe and sound. Ratchet Lines does it again, all in one piece. And with a little bit of excitement thrown in at no extra expense.
I guess it wasn't too bad. Can I have my bag, please?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Is it this one?
No.
Is it this one?
No, it's like a suitcase.
Oh, okay.
Square.
Is it on top of that thing? Or
yeah, we had it on top.
Good. All right, yeah. No, this one here. All right.
Yeah,
that's all right. It. Yeah, and I toss it off to the side of him, so it just like smashes on the ground.
He's like, oh. So the suitcase hits the ground. It doesn't bust open or anything like that, but before Ernst has a chance to grab it, someone else does.
Stop! Thief!
The person does not stop.
Oh, God. Wait. Hey! Stop him! You're on top of the coach. Lucky?
Oh,
Lucky.
Yeah.
Come on.
I chuck a dagger at him. All right. Hey, knock it off.
So you... So throwing weapons, you don't have to be... You don't have to have a throwing skill.
Lucky, stop him.
I'm trying.
All right, so same thing as crossbows. Right. You can attempt it with a ranged... with a ballistic skill check.
Okay.
Without penalty, but the dagger won't get any qualities, which it probably doesn't have anyway as a dagger.
This is my dagger, by the way, not Ralph's dagger. I fail by 4 degrees.
You want to use a fortune point?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just hit Ernst.
I failed by 1 degree.
You want to beseech the dark gods?
I still have another fortune point, or can I only use a fortune point?
No, you can't use a fortune point again for the same roll.
Yeah, why not?
Yes, I knew you would.
Yeah, make it. 1 degree success.
Those dark gods, man, they come through. They pull through.
How many degrees of success?
1.
Okay. So Bruno's like, stop, thief. Lucky, do something, and you just whip a dagger out, chuck it at this guy. Where'd it hit? What'd you roll to hit?
Rolled a 26, so that is going to hit him in the body.
Oh, perfect. So you hit him in the back.
Yeah.
How much that was 1 success level, so...
Yeah. Do I add a stat to that?
Yes.
Oh, so normally if I'm stabbing someone with it, it's plus strength, plus 2?
Mm. Yeah, a rock is a strength bonus alone. You got to think that a dagger is better than a rock.
So that would be 6 damage?
But rock does beat scissors, so...
Oh, that's true.
These are some deep rules.
Deep.
Yeah, a throwing knife is plus strength bonus plus 2, so we'll call it the same thing.
Sure, so 6 damage.
Wow, okay.
Jesus, you're going to kill a guy.
Right? Well, he's a thief, right? I mean, isn't that bad?
Yeah. So it doesn't kill the thief right away, because I still get the subtract toughness bonus and any armor if the thief was wearing, but they definitely, like, you hear him like, oh, and they stumble and drop the
I take off after him.
Get him, Lucky.
All right. So you're going to need to make a athletics test to try to catch up with this person.
Remember when we were talking about make who we this, thought would die first?
I'm going to give you plus 10 because you can kind of follow a trail of blood because he's stabbed him with a
dagger. I get another plus 10 for advantage?
Sure. Yeah, you made an attack. I don't know if that actually applies here, but I'm going to say it does.
Because why not? I think it does.
I make it with 0 degrees of success.
All right, so you keep up with him. He's running away. So wow, so Lucky, what is going on with Lucky? You throw this dagger at him, like Chuck Norris, jump off the coach, chase this guy down. What's everybody else going to be doing?
So yeah, I'll make a racket.
Bruno yelled, "Stop thief!"
Yeah, I'll make a racket up top the coach, alerting the ones inside that we had an issue outside. You might want to come check that out.
I'm yelling too to stop. Don't do that.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, I'll exit the coach.
Okay.
Look around. What the hell?
I guess we should help.
It's sounding like they may need assistance.
All right. So you guys jump out of the coach. You see Ernst picking up his luggage again, since the thief dropped it after they got a dagger in the back.
Yikes!
And you see Lucky taking off through the crowd. That's not that.
Again,
it's not
sorry, that I was going for the bag, not for the dude.
I thought you were chasing the person.
Oh, well, I thought he still had the bag.
No, he dropped the bag when you hit him
with
the
dagger. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to get the bag.
Oh, okay. Do you want your dagger?
Well, I mean, kind of, but like, well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So you're chasing the person down for the dagger?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, so you see Lucky dash off into the crowd.
Mm.
And you see a slight trail of blood.
Ah. I'm afraid that Lucky might need some backup on this.
Okay.
I will follow. Trail of blood. Tall, leering man.
Carl, you can do the same thing?
Yeah, I'm going to try and, rather than just following the trail of blood, just kind of listen, because this is a crowd of people they're running through, so I imagine there's commotion as a result of this.
Total, yeah, there's a lot of, hey, and what are you doing? So I'm going to have you both do an athletics check, and I'll give you both plus 10 for following the blood and for listening.
1 degree of success.
All right.
Carl's makes a success, 0 degrees.
All right, that's enough. That's still a success. So yep. You are able to keep up. You see Lucky. You don't quite see who he's chasing, but you're able to keep up with Lucky.
Right.
Bruno, what are you going to be doing? You know, let's go into initiative at this point. So
since we...
Carl's first?
Lucky's first.
No, since we last played, Carl has leveled up his initiative to 38.
Nice.
Oh, I got to change my
color. Yeah.
Ruh-roh. All right.
Right on. All right, so Carl's first.
So if you want to try to catch up, you can make another plus 10 athletics check.
Okay.
And now
I do that, and this time I have 4 degrees of success.
All right, so you're able to catch up to Lucky, and you see the person he's chasing, because it's pretty obvious, with the dagger in their back, and they're running away. I mean, you pretty much catch up to them, but that's going to be your whole round.
Okay.
So Lucky?
Chasing this dude down.
All righty. You got plus 20. You still have your advantage.
Yeah, so 3 degrees of success.
All right, so you also catch right up behind this person. I'm going to let you make... Do you have melee brawling? As a skill?
No.
I'll have you make actually a weapon skill check to try to, if you want to try to grab the dagger out of his back or not.
Sure.
You do have an advantage on this. So you have plus 10.
I rolled a 91. That is 5 degrees of failure.
Do you want to use a fortune point or beseech the dark gods?
Yeah, we'll use a fortune point.
All right.
Just smack it deeper into his back.
Oh, there we go. All right. I had a plus what?
10.
So 3 degrees of success.
All right. So you catch up to him and you just like reach out and pluck the dagger out of his back and he's like, ah, and he keeps running.
I mean, I'm good.
Do you just stop?
Yep.
Okay. Is Mina up? No, Bruno's up next. Mina's slow.
Bruno, let's see. He doesn't want to leave the cart. He wants to definitely make sure that Ernst is okay though. Being like, Ernst, get back in the cart. It's not safe here on the road, so I'll take you straight to the college where you'll be studying.
He's like, no, that's okay. I have people to meet, but thanks. And he just walks away pretty quickly.
Not a tip.
No tip. Not even a pastry.
Oh, yeah, those are finished.
didn't expect them to last right. a day, no.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mina.
I mean, at this point, Lucky has stopped running, right? Yeah.
Don't worry, I got it. I got my knife back.
Hold a bloody dagger.
Yeah. I wipe her off.
Be like, Lucky, what happened? Why you throw dagger? Why you stab man in back literally instead of turning into police? Metaphorically. Like, you stabbed me in the back. Okay.
Well, you gotta catch him first. You can't just turn someone in who's no longer here. And he told me to stop him and get the bag back. I got the bag back, and then I got my dagger back.
I heard Bruno say, stop, thief.
I stopped him from being a thief. He's no longer a thief if he doesn't have a...
I did not know what happened.
What would you call it? A prize?
His quarry?
Yeah, one of them's.
Yeah.
So do you all stop and the three of you kind of talk together for a moment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good work you do.
Thanks.
Lucky.
So while you guys are chatting, I want Carl to make an easy perception check. It's plus 40.
Carl gets that with 4 degrees of success.
All right. So as those two are talking back and forth, their usual kind of silly banter that Carl probably is listening to but not too into, you notice there's a couple of guys kind of at the edge of the square here, and one of them looks right at you, like right meets your eye, and he scratches his left ear using the little finger of his right hand, like as he looks you dead in the eye.
Do I know what that is? That like some kind of street slang that I would know about?
I mean, you figure it could be some kind of street slang, but nothing you've ever seen before. And then a moment later, the other guy does it too, and he makes eye contact with you. Scratches his left ear with his right pinky.
Carl's gonna do it back.
Okay. The two look at each other. And they look a little confused, and the one, does it again, but, more vigorously, scratches his left ear with his right pinky.
Carl's gonna try it with the other hand and see if I get a different response.
So you scratch your right ear with your left pinky?
Yes.
Okay. The two look at each other, and they start talking, and then they look away a bit to a different part of the square, and they start walking that way kind of quickly.
Carl turns to our group and says, I hate to interrupt, but I think there are two men trying to teach us sign language.
What do you mean? Why? What'd they do?
I don't know, but I think we should go check it out.
What about Bruno?
And all of our stuff.
All your candles.
I mean...
I have 11 candles, man.
I mean, if Bruno still has pastries, he's fine. We can check out sign language.
I don't think Bruno's had pastries in a while.
I know where the Ratchet Line's garage is. I'm sure we can meet up with Bruno later.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah, let's check her out. So what do they look like?
Yeah, Dan, what do they look like?
They look pretty nondescript. They just kind of look like a couple of...
guys that were up to no good?
Dudes.
Do they look like men?
They look like a man. Yeah, I mean, you could say one had kind of black hair, one had brown hair and a small mustache, but like most, that fit, 80% of the people around here would kind of fit that description. So I'm going to have you guys make perception checks. It's going to be hard for Mina and Lucky. And it's going to be average plus zero for Carl.
Nah. I literally would have had to roll a 9 to make it if it was hard.
Right, because you're not really sure what you're looking for.
I failed by 3.
Okay.
I have 5 degrees of failure and rolled an 88.
Woo! Ooh, that's a fumble. Does anybody want to use a fortune point or beseech the dark gods for a reroll?
I'm good.
I thought men with signs would be easy to follow. This is very difficult.
Okay, I rolled an 89 that time.
Do you want to beseech the dark gods for another reroll?
No, I'm not into them dark gods. I don't trust them.
One time I wasn't going to hit a guy with a dagger in the back, and then I just asked for help, and they helped me, man. I give them a shot.
What if these are people who are thinking that Carl is the library man? Lieberman?
Liberung.
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 What if they are thinking it is him?
Well, either way, you can't find them.
Okay.
Not sure where they went.
Mm. Oh, well. I have to learn sign language another day.
All right. Kara looked away too long to talk to you guys about it. By the time you look back, none of you could find them. But while you're looking around, Carl does see somebody.
Man, this guy looks like a delight.
Yeah.
Look, it's my friend Joseph. Let's go say hello.
A friend of Carl's is a friend of mine.
Yeah. All right.
So you say that, and when you say the name Joseph, the guy turns around.
Having known him for 10 years, that means that this old man knew me when I was 9. not clear on the nature of that relationship.
Oh, man, this looks like a good dude. All right. I'm excited.
Indeed, he looks like a fun-loving gentleman.
He looks like how I imagine your Uncle Chet looks.
Oh, no. Uncle Chet, he bears deep resentment in his heart because he cannot grow facial hair after the accident.
Oh, man.
So Carl's like, oh, it's Joseph. I know him. Whatever you just said. And he turns with that big, he's got a huge white beard. And he's got a big beer belly that's mostly covered by the beard. And he's got a huge bulbous nose. And he's like, oh, it's Carl! I didn't know you'd be around here. And he comes over, and he takes huge steps. And when he walks, he like swings his arm like he's almost power walking. And he just like, in his face, like immediately gets red from the exertion. But you can tell that's how he always walks. And he's just comes up, and he just embraces Carl in this huge bear hug. And this guy is as big as Carl, and like his arm, he's got thick arms.
See it.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Like he wraps his huge arms around Carl, and he just squeezes you.
Carl squeezes back and is going to try and pick him up a little bit with the big hug action.
He was already doing that to you, so let's make an opposed strength check.
If you guys both do that at the same time, check. That's how you fly, I'm pretty certain.
God damn it.
Oh my god.
This is a strength check?
Yeah.
Carl got 4 degrees of four degrees of success.
Nice. So you can feel that Joseph tried to pick you up a little bit, but he's kind of getting a little old for that. So you just pick him up instead, just for funds or whatever. And he's like, "Ah, oh, Carl, it's been so nice. It's so nice to see you." And he slaps you on the back a bunch of times. And he's like, "Who are these fine folk you're with?"
Hi, my name's Lucky. I'm Carl's friend. He helped me build a bunk bed. How are you?
I'm great. I'm Joseph Courtgen. How you doing there,
I'm Lucky? Doing really good, Joe. I'm doing real good. Man, yes, I'm so excited. Lucky. You guys are so happy.
Lucky's a little high intensity. This is my friend Mina. She is great at killing mutants.
That's wonderful to hear. He puts his hand out like to shake your hand, and he shakes it with like a crushing handshake, and then he takes your hand and he kisses the back of it as well.
Thank you, Joseph. It's wonderful to meet you. Any friend of Carl's is friend of Mina.
Ah, that sounds great. Any friend of Carl's friend of Joseph. This is wonderful. I see you're striking out on your own, huh, Carl? You're not working for your old man anymore?
It's after trying to make it on my own outside of Altdorf for a little over a year, I've had to come home. I'm looking for work again, but I can't go back to my father.
Oh, well, perfect time. I got a opportunity for you and your friends. I'm taking the beer belly down the Reich. We're going to Bogenhafen. You can work on the boat for me for the trip, and I'll even pay you a little bit. I could use a couple of strong hands. You got three of you?
Well, heck yeah. Probably. Well, what?
I want to check with Bruno as well. You remember him, right?
Bruno? Oh, that round guy.
Yes, yes. My friend who is as wide as he is tall.
Joseph actually laughs at that, and he's like, I've always loved that description of him. Fits him to an O. He says, I got a delivery of wine to take to Bogenhafen. And if you're looking for work, you can help me with that, and you can be on your way from there if you want. There's the Schaffenfest going on. They need lots of drink for the Schaffenfest, one of the biggest celebrations in Reichland.
This sounds great to me. I'd come to town less than half an hour and I have a job.
It sounds like wonderful opportunity. And I am from Seastat, so I am very familiar with water.
Yo, I've been to Seastat. Yeah. Delivered there before.
I've never had a job before. You'll pay me for stuff?
You do now. And he's like slaps you on the shoulder, but like almost knocks you over because he's strong.
What a great day.
I just love how excited Tim is.
Got a girl's number. I stabbed a guy. And I got a job.
From where you threw it at him, too.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive. Too bad it wasn't with a trident.
Friends, we should check in on Bruno and make sure he is good with horses and collect our belongings.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. If you want, I can meet you down at the Boatman Inn, just down the street of 100 taverns. Carl, you know where it is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course, of course. Meet me down there. I'll get you each a bottle of wine.
Oh
man, all right.
And he stalks off with that crazy walk where he takes like super huge steps and his arms are like going way at his sides. People, you know, make room for this guy.
Friends, this is wonderful opportunity, not only to make some money, but the air library wig is supposed to report to Bogenhofen. So we can be helping on this boat.
What?
And we'll... The inheritance, the money for the man who looked like Carl but is not Carl.
What are you talking about?
There was a man in the coach that was attacked by Rolf and his friends as mutants.
Yeah?
There was a dead man there, and he looked just like Carl, but with a thin hairy worm mustache instead of thick hairy worm mustache. And he had a letter telling him that he is an heir to an estate and some
He had
some
a letter money. Telling him that he was Carl. What?
The dead man who looked like Carl.
Right.
Had a letter.
Yeah.
Telling dead man who looked like Carl that he had inheritance. And so Carl is, because he looked just like dead man, we are going to help him so that he can do good things in the world with this inheritance that would normally be wasted.
Oh, you're doing a double rook scheme. Gotcha. All right. Cool.
Yeah, Carl tugs on his collar a little awkwardly, and it's like, yes, this is definitely the plan.
The only hiccup I see is that we need a signed letter verifying that you are Heir Lieberwing. Lieberwitz. Lieber.
Castor Liebram?
Yes.
All right.
So we need to figure out a way to do that. Maybe Bruno will know someone who can help us to get documents that say that you are Heir Lieberwing.
Well, today just keeps getting better and better. Carl, I didn't think you'd be up for a double rook. This is really cool. All right. My dad's going to be so happy for me. I'm getting to see his. I get to see him. I get to see his shop. I stabbed a guy. I got a job. And, you know, double rook's one of my dad's favorite schemes, too.
Yes, every father is proud of deception.
Is see, Carl, you are a good man, and this money otherwise, who would this money go to? The letter said you are the last one.
I know.
So you want the money to go to be absorbed by government?
No, yeah, Bruno is telling me that fate is fickle, and I admit so many bad things have happened. Yet in this journey, a lot of good things have happened, and I'm trying to be open-minded to this idea.
I think Bruno is a good friend and gives good advice. Yeah, he is right. Fate has smiled upon you, and you are a lucky one for that.
No, he's lucky.
For someone that doesn't like to deceive, Carl, you are deceptively good looking.
Carl does twirl his newly trimmed mustache a little bit.
So, Bruno, are you just waiting for them? Or did you guys, like, head back to the coach while you're having this conversation?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Come walk and talk and not get stabbed in the back.
All right, it's just, it'll take you probably 10, 20 seconds to walk back. You didn't run that far.
As you do walk back, you come upon the scene of Bruno just whipping beggars and thieves. trying to get at the bags of the coach.
Oh, no.
Bruno's standing on top of the coach like, back! Back, you fiends! No free rides! This is a Ratchet Line company, coach. None of you can afford to be on here. No, we're good. We're good. We don't need more helping hands. Back! With each crack of the whip.
All right, so he's up there yelling all this, cracking the whip, and as you guys walk up, like, there's nobody attacking the coach or anything. It's just Bruno apparently trying to make a show or something.
Ratchet Lion's company, protecting your stuff since, what year is it?
2224.
Yeah, there you go. So, 2220.
So we assume that because you're making the whip, like, what you're doing is working. No one's approaching the coach. No one is approaching the coach except for these three.
Yeah.
But, like, they didn't see anybody, like, coming at you.
Yeah, because I scared them all away.
I mean, evidence supports that.
Your coach is waiting to wherever you would like to go.
Well, Bruno, we got a job.
Oh, fantastic. Where are you guys working?
On a boat.
Oh, gee whiz. That's like a cart on the sea.
A water coach. You know Carl's friend Joseph?
Joseph! Yes. Oh, my God. He could put down a pint with the best of them.
He offered us temporary employment to get to Bogenhofen.
Bogenhofen.
Oh, I've only been there once.
And you remember the letter for the man who looked like Carl but is dead?
The letter
says to go to Bogenhofen.
Bogenhofen? Yeah.
And so is fortuitous in that way.
Oh, well, we could take a card. I'm sure that once I return this card to the office, they'll surely promote me to head coachman.
They'll give you another coach.
Yeah, they'll surely give me another coach. They're promote me to head coachman. It's fantastic that it's good that we got this opportunity, but I don't see myself losing my job anytime soon.
Well, no, but Joseph will pay us to work on the boat.
Oh, yeah, and then you'd have to pay me to... Right. Okay,
yes,
I see.
I mean, you're going to make money either way. Plus, we get to ride on the beer belly or whatever, so...
Berry belly. Berry belly.
It's pronounced beer belly.
Beer belly.
Also...
One of their name jokes.
I think Carl kind of signed you up to go with us too, bud.
Oh, fantastic.
So Mina doesn't.
I figured
know.
I had at least to check to see if we could keep journeying together.
Well, I've already got a job.
Would just be a temporary reprieve from your job as the.
As Bruno the does coachman. Know you need to report to the Ratchet Line,
yeah.
Like headquarters. If to like report and potentially turn in the coach for now, kind of no. thing. Get a new job.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you should turn in the coach, but after that, right. You'd be free, no?
No, thank you, guys. I'm really good with this coaching job. It seems like a really secure job, right? I feel like I'm going to have a long and prosperous career here. It's got great retirement benefits. Yeah, as long as you, return the coach and deliver all your passengers without losing any limbs or luggage. Yeah.
Limbs and luggage.
Right.
Well, return the coach and good luck to you. And yeah. If you are free this evening, we are meeting with Joseph at
Boatman Inn.
The Boatman Inn.
Ah, oh, fantastic.
Boatman.
The Boatman Inn. I know the place. Again, it's spent many a night on that straw-laden floor.
So meet us there and have a drink. We will celebrate your promotion yeah. and your prosperity with Ratchet Line.
Oh, fantastic. And I'll celebrate your good luck in finding a job so quickly getting into town. Oh, my goodness. Good on you guys. Good on you.
Do you need help bringing the cart back or?
Sure.
Helping you off the cart when you get there?
Yeah, I mean, you bring you a little bit closer to the docks. Yeah, it's
we can ride over with you and then we'll all walk over to the bar together.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Do you want to?
So as you guys are talking, you hear this fill the square suddenly. And you, I assume you go turn and look, and you see there is quite the procession heading through the square this time, kind of end of the day thing. And you see somebody announces the Reichland 1st Regiment of Foot, the Imperial Guard, leading the Emperor Karl Franz. And you see the Emperor himself marching through the square. And you hear a couple people around you groan, like, again? In all his glory, upon a black barded steed, he's covered in the most ornate armor you've ever seen, full plate, surrounded by a score of knights, also in resplendent full plate armor, and that just looks, you know, it's inspiring. It's amazing. It's the Emperor himself.
That's my daddy's boss. My dad works for him.
Yeah.
Never in my life did I think I would see such amazing things as I've seen just in this day.
Ahead of him marches like a phalanx of infantry, obviously, so nobody can get too close or anything like that. Everything in the square stops. Everybody stops in place, looks. Like I said, a couple people mumble that they've seen this a few times in the last couple of weeks, and it's not that big of a deal anymore. But I'm sure to all of you, that's probably one of the most amazing things that's ever happened. Yeah, to actually see the Emperor himself. You've heard stories of him. You know that he is he's a very well-liked Emperor. They're not always. There have been a lot of Emperors in the over 2,000 years of the Empire. But Karl Franz is well-liked. He's known for his prowess on the battlefield. He's slain orc war bosses. He's even been rumored to channel Sigmar himself through him. He wields Sigmar's own hammer, Galmraz, which was a dwarven forged hammer that is a legendary weapon. He's not wielding it at this time. He doesn't hold it aloft or anything like that. He has the Reichland Runefang instead, which is a magical weapon that all elector counts, the leaders of each province of the Empire, have. Everybody make a lower Reichland check real quick about that.
Perfect.
Is that a
challenging? Zero.
I failed by 3 degrees.
Okay. Mina, sounds like you passed.
Yes.
Pass with 3.
Carl?
Carl had a 77 for 3 degrees of fail or 4 degrees of failure.
All right, so it kind of makes sense. Bruno's from here. Mina's part of the military. You guys know that traditionally the Emperor doesn't carry the Runefang of Reichland. It belongs to his champion and the leader of the general, basically the general of the armies of Reichland, Kurt Hellborg. That's his name.
Well, that's a sweet name.
He's the one that wields that, even though he's not an elector count, because when they go to war, the Emperor wields Galmraz instead. So the fact that he has the Runefang instead is, Mina might be like, oh, that's not what he usually has. That's interesting. You see this procession. It takes a few minutes to go through. It's pretty long. There's a lot of soldiers in it. And the Emperor on top just kind of waves. He doesn't say anything or anything like that. And they make their way through. Things just kind of resume back to normal almost immediately.
I mean, it's just, this is so much. There's so many things happening.
I want to make a gossip check with Carl to see if I can kind of chat somebody up and kind of figure out what's going on here.
Okay.
I thought you meant the Emperor at first. Like you were just going to go up and like nudge him with your elbow and be like, hey.
What's up, Carl?
That wouldn't happen.
My name's Carl, too.
Got 2 degrees of success.
So you find out that this is the 4th time that the Emperor has marched across the Koningsplatz this week. And people find it strange that he does this on a horse, because the Emperor is very well known that when he rides into battle, he rides into battle on a griffin that he personally trained from a hatchling called Deathclaw. And that's like another reason why people like him so much is that he's kind of a badass. Like he goes to war on a, and griffins are huge creatures in this world, like big as a house.
Oh, okay.
Like they are big. Like, you know, griffin can take on a dragon and probably die, but it would put up a fight.
I mean, from a practical standpoint, though, like you're not going to ride a griffin into the town square.
I mean, right, but it's that's kind of what he's known for,
right?
Because Deathclaw is, and there's with 2 degrees of success, you hear rumors that he hasn't, like Deathclaw typically lives in the Imperial Zoo within Altdorf because it has all kinds of weird creatures like hippogriffs and other things like that. And
can we go visit him,
Deathclaw?
Yeah,
at some point.
Pet him.
But there are rumors that he hasn't even been to visit Deathclaw in weeks.
Oh,
maybe they broke up.
That was a pretty good.
Is he sick?
Gossip check.
Oh my gosh.
Huh.
Deathclaw.
Yeah. So we should probably go return this coat, right?
So you guys gonna hop back in the coat? Are you gonna ride along on top again, Lucky?
Well, yeah. If I hadn't been riding up here before, Ernest wouldn't have gotten his bag back.
That's and probably true because I don't think Bruno was gonna do much of anything.
So yeah, I need to stay up here as the resident sackmaster.
All right. Mina, Carl, you guys going to ride inside again?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, living large.
Makes sense. All right, so you head to the Ratchet Line, like, headquarter building. It's not too far from the Königplatz because this is where you usually drop off and pick people up. It's kind of like a bus station.
Okay.
There's stables out back and whatnot, so you know that you should stable the horses first, all that jazz. There's a button, you know, there are a number of coaches here, not a ton. There's 3 other coaches.
Okay.
And spaces for a few more. So you know what to do. You kind of back the coach into a spot, take care of the horses.
Yeah. Easily unhitch the horses or hand the reins off to one of the stable hands, I'm sure, that's milling about, not doing much. But, yeah, walk in there all very confident-like. And all right, guys, Bruno's back.
All right, you walk in and you see your boss, who obviously you know, but does everybody else go in the place with him?
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's cool.
Yeah.
We are all happy customers.
Happy customers. Gonna give 5-star reviews, I'm sure.
I mean,
I am logging on to Yelp now.
Leaving a 5-star review is very important and will help Ratchet Line be found by other people.
All right. So you head inside and it looks really nice. It's like the lobby. There's lots of comfortable seating. There's a desk, but there's also a few doors leading off to like offices and kind of like meeting spaces to talk with somebody to like plan a trip and all that. And Bruno comes in and you announce yourself.
Yeah. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Have a seat over here. We'll get you some refreshments. All right. Ratchet Line's top of the line.
A door slams open and out stomps your boss, Broker Zindrason.
Zindrason, you old fool. How's it going?
And all of you immediately recognize this guy to be a dwarf. Which isn't super uncommon in the Empire, but not super common either.
Yeah.
And he says, Bruno, my lad, how are you today?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. We had a little bit of trouble on the road, but nothing that I couldn't handle. Again, first time with the coach. Brought it back one piece. You're quite welcome.
I see.
Lots of happy customers.
See, you brought them here. They need more traveling?
No, they just wanted to tell you how good a job that I did.
Oh.
Yeah, they were that pleased with our service here at the Ratchet Lines.
Bruno
give me just a second. Here he goes over behind the counter and he opens up a big, like a giant ledger, the book. Like he has to swing the whole length of his arm to turn this book. He takes out a quill, he licks it, and he sticks it in the ink. And he goes, let me hear what you got to say about Bruno.
Bruno's pretty much the best coachman I've ever seen. There's only a couple that I've seen. One hit me with their coach. From 4 Seasons.
Damn 4 Seasons.
Ran me right over. Bruno made sure that I got warm and fed and my thirst quenched. And he's a great guy.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. Nice job, Bruno. He writes it down.
The ride was as good as my friend Bruno is round.
That's high praise. He writes it down.
He's a lot better than those other coachmen you guys have that, like, sleep in and don't even, like, drive their coach the rest of the way.
Wait, what?
Oh, no.
You know, because, like, our coach broke down, and then there were the two guys at the next place, and they drank way too much, so Bruno, like, took all their people, like, to where they needed to go. It was really nice of him. I don't even think he got paid.
So Broker slowly puts the quill down in the ink pot, and he, like, runs his hand down his face slowly, and then runs it through his beard that has all kinds of, like, bangles in it. Runs it through his beard. He looks at Bruno. Did you come across Gunner and Holtz?
Holtz, Gunner.
They were on their way here with a noble lady.
With
two of her, I don't know, people.
Entourage? Yeah.
Bretonian.
Yeah. Oh, Bretonians, huh? Yeah.
What was the other one?
Ernst.
Some kid.
Yeah.
Ernst. He's coming to the colleges.
To be a physic man.
Yeah, we did not see them. We didn't see them at all.
We are the only ones that are in the coach.
Ernst never heard of him.
He looks right at Lucky in the eye and he says, so, what?
Lady what happened to
the coach again?
Which one?
The first one you were in.
It broke.
Can you elucidate?
Bandits.
He's giving air quotes while he says that. Bruno. Alright, so bandits broke the coach.
But we were much better off than the Four Seasons coach, which was attacked and overrun with mutants.
I mean, and I get, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, so our coach got bandited.
He says, Siegfried, get in here. Some kind of young human comes scampering real quick and he says, yes, sir. And he points him over real quick, whispers something to him. And he says, yeah, okay, right away. And he runs back out. So, coach broke. Then what? Looking at Lucky.
Then I got hit by the Four Seasons coach.
Right. Yep, said that.
Then we got to the coachman's inn.
The coach and horses?
Yeah, that I think so. Yeah.
All right.
And then we stayed there for the night. Then I met Jaina and the old lady. All
right, what about the important parts? What happened to the coach? How'd you get here with a coach if the other coach broke?
Well, we got the other coach.
The kid comes back in, whispers to Broker. He says, all right, thank you, Siegfried. You can go back with whatever you're doing. Bruno.
Oh, yeah.
Come with me. He walks you into the side, one of the offices. You go with him?
Bruno will follow like a sheepish dog, head completely bowed, nearly sobbing.
All right, so the three of you in the lobby, he closes the door, slams the door, and you hear most of what goes on, which is basically just Broker shouting. Closing the door doesn't do much. And you just hear like,
you stole one of our old coaches. You bring it back here. And you say it down. You know you're fired, man. Right? You're never coming back here again. Get out of my place. Get out of here. You're dead.
And the door swings open.
Man, my daddy always said dwarves always sound mad, even when they're promoting somebody.
The door swings open, and he just sits behind. He, like, in the room, he sits behind a desk, just arms crossed, staring daggers at you.
I'll take off the ratchet lines.
Oh yeah, he tears jacket. That off you. I forget I had that on. He tears it off you. He says, Siegfried will be finding you with a bill for the coach.
What? No, I brought you a coach. Oh jeez.
Just get out of here before I lose my temper.
What? All right. So Bruno will quickly be like, yes, sir. Ratchet lines.
The other three of you in the waiting room make a perception check. Just challenging.
Nope. I fail by 2.
Carl?
3, actually.
Carl fails by 6 degrees of success.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So 6 degrees of failure.
Yeah. That's something funny, but nobody saw it.
Mr. Dwarf Man, I was told there would be refreshments.
The door slams.
So yeah,
you very unceremoniously were just fired.
As we're walking out and the door slams to the coaching inn behind us, or the coaching station behind us, I'd be like, so you said that we might have a job, eh?
With Joseph, that's, yeah?
I think that would be a good place to end episode 6.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no.
Let's go down and get that drink. I feel like I really need that right now.
Seems like a great time to get out of town.
Thanks so much for listening. Why don't you go and check out all the other great shows that the Professional Casual Network has to offer, including season one of The Space Between Presents I Saw a Tiger, which follows the Netflix smash series Tiger King and details the acid-washed antics of Joe Exotic, Carol Baskin, Jeff Lowe, as well as others. This season, we're taking a deep, dark dive into the four-part Netflix docuseries Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich.
Big Fiction Energy is our audio drama pod in which Tim, Danny, and myself tell the story of Lainey, the Girl Without Fear, a fantasy novel by Dan.
And if you needed more deep dives, also check out The Space Between, which is a discussion and review of the best games, comics, and nerd movies of today and yesteryear. We also have Elite Eight Showdown with high-octane host Big Chuck and his research team. Join him while he financially ruins his partner Tim and completes an 8-team tournament bracket that could be about anything and everything. Lastly, we have Professionally Asked, Casually Answered, a totally real, totally fake advice show where we take questions and topics from you, our listeners, and do our best not to completely ruin your lives. Danny, where could people follow us or ask us questions for Professionally Asked, Casually Answered?
I'm so glad you asked that, Tim. You can go ahead and email us questions. Our email address is theprofessionalcasual@gmail.com. You can also follow us and message us on Instagram at @theprofessionalcasual. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/professionalcasual. Twitter, we're @toptiercasual. Our website is theprofessionalcasual.com. On Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/professionalcasual. And you can also check out Lindsay's Instagram at lindsayfphotography, where you can check out all of her great photos of abandoned places and events.
What are some other things that people could find on our Patreon, Danny?
They can find Sarah's doodles. They can find different vlogs. They can find lots of polls. I know Big Chuck's got a ton of stuff up there. It's all just a wild time. Extra bonus content, all of those things.